My name is Frank O'Neill. I'm one of the pastors here at Shelter Rock Church. My first question is, I'd like to ask Jerry, what is a deep soul? But I love Jerry. He's one of the biggest encouragers that I know, so it's great to have him around. He always has great things to say. And we are going through our readings of the book of Luke and the book of Acts. And now we're in chapter 12, and Pastor Jerry read our portion for this morning. And in this portion, Jesus focused on the need of his followers to be, which is everyone. He talked to leaders and to the great crowd. He had a crowd that had specific things for leaders, and specific things for everyone. I want to kind of say something for everyone this morning. And he talked about us being dressed in readiness. Dressed in readiness, being prepared for something. And what were they to be prepared for? Well, he says, well, when the master comes. Now, theologians will say this is talking about the parousia, the coming of the Lord, which means the presence of God, the coming, the arrival, the advent, the future visible return from heaven of Jesus to raise the dead, hold the last judgment, and set up formally and gloriously the kingdom of God. He is coming to us. That's a prophecy. That's a prophetic utterance. Or if he doesn't come during our lifetime, we're going to go to him. Either way, we're going to be before him. How many get that, right? Either way, we're going to stand before him. So are we ready for him to come? Are we ready to stand before him? And in prophecy, sometimes people think of the prophecy and they want to try to figure out the day and get tied up with that. According to Charles Hodge's systematic theology, in prophecy throughout Scripture, when you see prophecy and you see the prophets, their messages, their focus is not so much on when is it going to happen, but it's more, he says it like this. In prophecy, instruction is subordinate to moral impression. It's about what are you going to do with yourself? How should you be behaving? How should you be prepared for when this happens? So the topic for this morning is, are we ready? Let us pray. God, as the song says, Father, we want to know you more, and this is a great opportunity to hear from you. So we ask for your voice to be clear to every ear that's here this morning. So we might hear, Jesus, like you said, let every ear hear what the Spirit is saying. And so would you attune our ears to your voice? Everyone here is individual. You have a message for every person, and you have a way of focusing in and zeroing in that channel for each of us. So help us all to hear what you have to say about this topic so that we can go out of here singing. We want to go out of here singing. We don't want to go out the same way we came in. We want to go out singing and changed and closer to you, knowing you more than what we did when we walked in. So God, I pray for all of us. Myself as a speaker, would you help me to be free and say what I believe you put in my own heart, and help us all to hear what you have for our hearts too. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Okay. Be ready for when his presence comes. When is it going to come? He said it's going to come like a thief in the night. So those who want to try to figure out, I mean, if you knew what was going to happen tomorrow, he says, no, you're not going to know when. It's going to be like a thief in the night. Jesus says it here. Paul talks about it in Thessalonians. That day is going to come like a thief in the night. The book of Revelation mentions it twice, coming like a thief, unawares. And the thought of a thief just conjures up some things in my own mind. I was born and raised in the hood in Brooklyn. How many here have ever had your car broken into? Let me see your hand. Come on. How many have never had their car broken into? Let me see your hand. Where are you from? That's like a badge of honor. You're not. What do you mean you never had your? How many had your car broken into? How many had it more than once? More than twice? More than three times? What happened to fool me once, shame on you? we gotta do something different over here. Oh yeah. How many remember this little sound? How wonderful little sound. Can we play that little clip there? I think they meant to drive the thieves crazy with that. They would have, we'll drive them crazy, they'll run away. How many have heard that sound? I heard that. And the reality is, if you heard that sound in your car, it's too late anyway. The reason that happened is because you already got it, right? My first new car was in 1988. And in Brooklyn, we had just bought, my wife and I just bought a nice co-op out there, and we got the new car, and we parked it around the corner, and I heard that sound. But there's a lot of cars out there, so I'm like, nah, that's not my car. I mean, I'm talking about the first week, a few days after I parked the car. That's not my car, it's distant. I heard it in the distance because it was around the corner. Sure enough, I go around the corner in the morning, pop. They were good. They didn't break the window. They popped the lock right through. They were cool. That's nice, and they popped it right through. Because I had not learned the lesson. Remember when they had the slide-out radios? They take it with you, right? I didn't get the slide-out radio. So they just broke it and took it out. Later on, I got me a slide-out radio. How many forgot to take it out when you left sometime in the car? It's like they know that. They have a dog that sniff around for people who left their slide-out radio in the car. Oh, this is an easy one. Take it out, and then they're gone. But if we knew when it was coming, we would get prepared. If we knew the thief was coming, we would get ready for him, right? You make sure, I heard he's coming tonight. We'll be watching. We're being careful. We're being vigilant. Reminding me of another story of someone who found out, and it's actually from a movie, a famous movie, the son of a mafia boss at the time found out that people were coming to kill his father at the hospital. They're coming. He told the nurse, people are coming to kill my father. He discovered it, so I got to do something. Remember what happened? Let's take a look at the clip over here.
Like you have a gun. You'll be all right. You'll be okay.
I'm going to remember that. That was the baker. And they started fumbling for it. He almost had a heart attack right there. And Micah was pretending, faking it. But because he knew he was coming. How many know you can't fake it with Jesus, though? He fooled these guys, but we can't fool Jesus. So when he says, get ready, be dressed. Are we ready for his coming? The question is, are we ready? Are we dressed in readiness? Not are we saved? Are we children of God? Are we born again? When he said these words in the text that we're reading from, he was talking to his followers, his disciples. It was not about salvation. It was not about their salvation. Well, are they ready for him to come? Because you're saved when you respond to the invitation from Jesus from Matthew, the 11th chapter, when he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Then he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest." When you respond to that invitation, it's done. He gives you rest. You put your burden on Jesus. You are born again. You become a child of God. That is never on the table, never in question anymore, because whom the Son sets free is truly free. He who has the Son, how many have the Son here? Let me see. You have the Son? He who has the Son has life. That's it. He who has the Son has eternal life. We are, our names are written in God's, in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are saved. That's not in question. It's not like when I used to be a Jehovah's Witness when I was never sure whether I was saved or not. Well, you're not. In fact, the reason why we would come to your doors all the time is because we were told that the safest place to be when the Armageddon comes is to be at somebody's door knocking, because you're trying to work for your salvation. You never know. You know, he who endures to the end doing this, that maybe you'll be saved. I'm so grateful that I don't have to worry about that. God is my Father, and nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not because of what I do, but because of what Jesus Christ did for me. How many say amen? Come on, let's thank God together right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. My name is written in the book of life. Your names are written there. But there's two invitations in this text. Come to me, I'll give you rest. Then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. So now he's saying, the yoke was a wooden beam you would put across animals, two animals, so that they could be paired together and they would carry a load. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Like, walk with me. Do life with me. Jesus wants to do life with you and with me. Yes, we're saved. We're saved. It's not going to be a question. But you can be saved and yet not be ready. You can be a child of God, but you're not ready for his coming, because we're not doing life with Jesus. In fact, I've had seasons in my life, if I'm going to be honest with you, I've had seasons in my life, and maybe a lot of us can confess that too, when I really wasn't that eager for Jesus to come. Maybe my life wasn't the way I thought it should be. I wasn't worried about not making it, but I just, you know, we have children, and sometimes our children are not acting the way we want them to act. How many say amen? We could be children of God. Sometimes we're not acting the way he would want us to act. Things going on in our lives that we're embarrassed about, we're ashamed of. At that moment, we're hoping, don't come today. Like, come, but not today. That's not a good time. That's not ready for you. It says, get dressed. Be dressed in readiness. It's kind of like if you have guests coming to your house, you would like to be prepared when they come, right? How many would totally freak out if people came to your house by surprise? It's like, hey, we came for dinner. And you're like, oh my gosh. Don't open the door, honey. Don't open the door. We got to get the house together. It's a mess here. There's nothing ready. There's, you know, in your pajamas and not prepared. The house is not clean. So Jesus says, be dressed in readiness. And there's two areas in this portion, two areas in particular, because the reality is he wants us to be not just ready, but eager. Yeah, come today. I want you to come. Yeah, if you come today, hallelujah. I really want, I'd be happy if you came today. What does that look like? And what is it that Jesus is talking about? What is he looking for in us? There's a lot of things we could talk about, but I find two things here he highlights. One is to be about what we're supposed to be dressed with. One is to be dressed in your calling and dressed in your character. Dressed in your calling, or our calling, dressed in our character. Our calling is dressed in what God is doing through us. What is God doing through us? Our character is, what is God doing in us? What is God doing to us? What is he doing through us? What is he doing in us? What do we mean by dressed with this calling? Acts chapter 13, verse 36 says, when David had served, talking about King David, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. When yes, God had a purpose for David. About Jesus, Jesus says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If we're doing life with Jesus, taking his yoke upon us, we're walking with him, we're talking with him, we're living a different life. Something new is happening. There is some input coming from Jesus into our lives. Paul says it like this. He talks about us being a body. We are all part of the body of Christ. And just as one body, though many, has many parts, and all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Every one of us, every one of you, if you have come to Jesus, he said, come to me, all you who are weary, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You've come to him, he has given you rest, but he's also made you a part of the body. And I know that this resonates with every single believer, because it's impossible that you can have the Spirit of God living in you and this does not make sense to you. How many say amen? Amen. Oh, when I first heard that, I realized, oh, you're coming out of a cult. Remember, I came out of a cult. It was like I was way out there. And then I start hearing this, and his Spirit just bears witness with our spirit, the Bible says, that we are his children. How many know God's Spirit bears witness with us that we are his children? Let me see your hand. Well, he also bears witness that we are part of the body of Christ. But if he says, but if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. The foot should say, if I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. It would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And he goes down the list. We all have, you might be a foot, you might be a toenail, a nice pedicured one, real nice. You might be a finger, and you might think, I'm not really a big deal. No, you are a big deal. You're a part. How many would be happy to get rid of one part of your body right now? And just, yeah, you could take this one, everyone need it here. I don't think there's anyone would say take this part away. Every part is important to us. Every part is meaningful to us. We care for every part. We cradle every part of our bodies. So it is with Christ. We are all a part of the body of Christ. How real is this? So there's things God wants to do in my life, in your life. And if you say I'm not a part, that doesn't mean you're not a part. It just means you're not functioning. You get that? Just because you say you're not a part doesn't mean you're not a part. It says, just because you say so, that doesn't mean you're not a part. But it means you're not functioning. If you're a foot and you say I'm not a part, that means you're not walking. If you're a mouth and you say you're not a part, that means you're not talking. You're not functioning in the role that God wants you to function in. There are things God wants to, Jesus, with the body of Christ, there's things he wants to express through us and live out through us. Every member here, he drops it into our lives. He drops his purposes as we're walking and doing life with him. Part of it, he's letting us know. Imagine you're that close to him, walking together with him, and he lets you know, hey, Frankie, I want to do this in your life. You start hearing his thoughts, hearing his desires, hearing his will. And he said, let's go do this. Let's go do this. I have some friends here, their daughter, when she was just a little girl, and the Holy Spirit was already speaking to her, Jesus already yoked with her, I want you one day to start an orphanage in Africa. How old was she? I don't know. She was a toddler. Today she's in her 20s. And guess what? There's an orphanage in Africa. There's an orphanage. Not a whole town, a whole village that God has started through this little girl he started with there. God drops things into our hearts. I remember when I came to faith and I was going to a church that had 1,000 members, 1,000 people there, 1,000 members, and they did not have a new believers class. 1,000 people. It was like they were coming in like waves. People were coming. Every Sunday was just an incredible time. There was not even a new believers class there. And the Holy Spirit, I'm sitting there one day and God starts dealing with me. Now, I'm working in the bank. I'm a manager at the bank and I'm coming and I'm just rejoicing that God saved me. But he starts speaking to me and says, hey, Frankie boy, there's no new believers class here. So I go to the pastor and say, hey, you know, you need a new believers class here because these people are ripe ground for Jehovah's Witnesses. Because I would have come and eaten them up, you know, because they're not grounded. They're not grounded. And, you know, him in his style, he recognized, hey, that's the Holy Spirit talking to you. You're the part. So here, you got it. I'm like, no, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. You didn't get my, you know, there's a whole bunch of guys. No, God showed you. Long story short, that's how the first New Believers class started in the Brooklyn Tabernacle. Never had less than 100 people coming. And it grew, and it grew. What did I know? All I said was, yes, God, okay, I'll do it. And it went on and on like that in different people's lives because we're all part of the body. God, there's things God wants to do in you and in me. There's things, because if you're yoked with him, there's things he wants to talk to you about. Are you dressed in his calling on your life? Maybe it's in the church. Maybe it's in the community. Maybe it's something outreach that he wants you to do. Whatever he says, are you dressed in his calling? One of the things we signed that we're not dressed in readiness is we're afraid of the sea. Afraid of the sea. When I think of the sea, I'm thinking about Jonah. How many know the story of Jonah? He was running away from God's calling. He didn't like what God said. He wanted to run away from it. He wound up going on a boat, trying to take a trip away. God sent storms to the boat, and he knew all the time. He was very conscious. This is not about storms. This is about me. I'm running from God. I know God wants me to do that. And finally, he wound up getting swallowed up by a big fish. You know, when you're running from God, when you're not dressed with his calling, you're kind of afraid of the sea, afraid of fishing. I say this with conviction because I've been on the wrong side of this thing. I've been on the right side. I've been on the wrong side. I know what it's like to run away. I know what it's like to say, because there's challenges and sacrifices and the enemy just lies to you about, and you just start running away. There were times in my life when I took my eye totally off the ball. Totally off. I'm like, oh, my career was going, and I'm like, ka-ching, 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 and oh, yeah. And there's a voice over here, and like a little fly swatter. Stupid fly. How many get the little flip, walk around that fly swatter, the buzz, get, and God's buzzing around because he loves us so much that he won't let us go. He loves us so much. He loves you so much. I mean, he won't let us go our own way. He'll keep after us. Be dressed with his calling. So we're not afraid of the sea. Is there something, God, are you dressed with his calling? Are you dressed in readiness? You're doing what God wants you to do? Or is there something you're putting off, you're procrastinating, you're running from? Do you have a fly swatter that you use to shoo it away? Dressed with character. What is God doing in us? What is God doing, wants to do through us? Dressed with that. Dressed with what God is doing in us. 1 John says it like this. We have come to know and believe the love which God has for us. 1 John 4:16. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. I love that. What a high calling that is. To be like Jesus. There used to be an old chorus like that. Remember that? To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. I'm going to sell my CDs after the service. So just hold steady on that. But all I ask. But as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. The one who fears is not perfected in love. When we're walking with him, yoked with him, doing life with Jesus, he starts changing our character. How can two walk together unless they agree? We start changing the way we feel about people, the way we feel about things. resentment and jealousy and anger and all the fruit of the Spirit begins to operate in our lives, so that when he comes, we're aware of it. How many are aware that you're not the same way you used to be? Right? How many are glad you're not the way you used to be? How many are still the way you used to be? Let me see if I can, know who to, you know. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good. God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 13 says, the night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us not put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus. I call. Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Clothe yourself with Jesus. Put that on as a clothing. That's what he wants to see. How many have found that when you dress a certain way, you act different? Right? You put a suit on and now you're Mr. Cool. Pastor Jerry got me into running some years ago, these half marathons, and I remember when but I was running on my own. I was kind of running because I ran by myself. I didn't run with the group. I didn't know anything, so I'm just running. And it was winter time, and I would have on like three sweatshirts, sweatpants, a down jacket on top of it, and I run. I weigh like, by the time I'm done, everything, my coat is drenched. I weigh like 300 pounds because everything is just soaking wet. I didn't know anything about that. I'm just. And then we wound up going to some, they scheduled a time for us to go to this running store where they had all these nice clothes. And I got myself a nice jacket, the hat. I was styling. The stretch pants, the colored sneakers. I'm like, I look good. I felt good. I may not have been running any faster at all, but I wanted to go out there. I wanted to go out there and run, man. Take a picture, you know? Because you just felt different because you were clothed. The clothing affects you. When you're clothed with Jesus, when that becomes the thing that you're looking to do, it changes you. It changes how you behave, how you act. It changes your character. He's looking for us, our clothing. Are you clothed in your calling? Are you clothed in your character? That's a heart thing. A sign that you're not clothed. A sign that we're not ready, dressed in readiness regarding our character. Regarding our calling, we're kind of afraid of water. And with our character, we're kind of afraid of altars. Altars. Remember this altar Jesus spoke about? If you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. You try to go into God's presence and you want to talk about this, and he says, hold that thought. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about your wife. Let's talk about this situation over here. And you go, Yeah, but first let's talk about this, because you want to occupy, then you'll be done, right? You won't have time to go. No, and he said, no, I got you, but hold that thought. Let's talk about this. He won't let you go. He won't let you go. He says, don't play me. Don't pretend you got a gun over here. I know you got nothing in there. I know there's nothing in here. You can't fool me. God is light. In him there's no darkness. And when we go before him, but you know what? I'm so glad, because what a waste to fool ourselves. God loves us so much. He wants us to be free. He wants us to be free. So all that unforgiveness and that bitterness and that resentment and that jealousy. I can't pray. I can't go before the altar and my wife and I are not on the same page. How many say amen? Boy, that was a very weak amen. Weak with a capital W. Because you know it's true. I know. I've been on the wrong side of the fence on this one here. I know what it's like to not want to. Oh, there have been times I didn't want to pray. Because I knew the moment I go in, I knew what's going to happen. I know the first topic. It's not like I can pick my topics. He said, no. I'm going to make the agenda on this one, Frankie. Because I got some stuff to go. We haven't talked in a little while. We're afraid of altars. Never mind altars. So what are we going to do when Jesus comes? Do you think we're going to fake it? If we can't even go before him now, what are we going to do when he's here in all of his glory and every hidden thing is going to be revealed? He doesn't want that. He wants us to come in skipping and free because as he is, so are we in this world. He wants to set us free. He wants to free us. All unforgiveness. Sometimes people hurt you. People have hurt me. People have betrayed me. People I trusted let me down. And I'm like, I got you. I'm never going to let you go. And you hold on to that. And you think you're holding them in prison. You're really holding yourself in prison. The key is locking you in. It's not locking them out. It's locking you in. But when you go before the altar, he just reminds you of that. Give it to this, Frank. Give it. And I've seen him change my life, change my heart, and change many people's hearts. So are you afraid of the sea? Do you avoid getting alone with God? Is it hard for you? It was hard for me. Hard. But I discovered this promise from God. And if you're struggling with this, I want to tell you this is good news. This is such good news because when I feel like I don't have the strength to change. There are times when I feel good, you feel like faith and you feel boldness, and there are other times you feel like this thing is beyond me. I don't have the strength. I don't want to. I don't want to change this. That scares me. I don't want to change it. But then I have this promise over here. Paul gave. Continue to work in Philippians, the second chapter, the 12th verse, 12 and 13. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling because it is God who works in you. It is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. You should underline that in your Bible. God, it is God who works in you. I can be, if I'm willing, I can be God's workmanship. He's the potter, I'm the clay. He works in us. Look what he said. He works in us to will and to do. So if I say, I don't want it, but I know I should. I don't want to do that. I know it's God's will. I know it's the right thing, but I don't have the desire to do it. Well, here's the promise. That's okay. He doesn't say, you don't have desire, so then you're, psh. No. He says, no. Your salvation's like this. I will change you. This is the new covenant. He changes us from the inside out. I will work in you. I will put my laws within your heart. I will change you. I am so happy for that because I grew up in a mess, in the hood, broken family, the whole nine yards. I had no hope for myself. I thought I would never amount to anything. I would never get married. I would never do any of those things because I just didn't have the pedigree. I didn't have the roots in me, the genes in me. And then promises like this. It says, God, here's a simple prayer. God, you know me. You know me. You know my struggle. You know I don't even want the right things. But you said you would work in me to want the right things. Not only to want them, but then you're going to give me the power to do them. I'm here because God has worked in me. That's my story. I know I can't take any credit. If someone says anything good you see, if there's anything you see positive in me or godly of anything of God, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not Frankie O'Neill. It's not me. It's Jesus. He did it. I give him all the credit. Oh, great. And I can tell you, well, if he did it in me, that's why I have confidence he can do it in you. What's your name, my brother?
Jared.
Jared. I know God can do anything in Jared's life. And you're?
Alicia.
Alicia. Congratulations. God bless your little baby in there. And I know God can do anything in their life because I know what he's done in my life. You know, when you have a testimony, it gives you faith. When you know God's working in your life, that's faith. I'm not telling you what I heard someplace. I'm not telling you what I heard. We need to have testimonies. We need to have experiences with God. So we're not saying, I read this from so-and-so. That might be good, but that's not convincing. That's hearsay. Hearsay is not testimony. When you can say to someone, your story, I was blind, but now I see. I was a mess, but now I'm a blessed mess. But I'm blessed. He works in us. So here's what we're going to do, because we want to get dressed. Some of us maybe realize, we've been walking around unclothed this way. I believe so, because if we're human beings, I know I'm not unique. We're all struggle with this or that, maybe the character, maybe the calling. But before you get dressed, what is the one thing you need to do first? Take a bath. How many say amen? How many took a bath before you got dressed this morning? If you didn't, raise your hand. No, you did. You're good. You're good. I think you did. And then you put your clothing on. So here's what we're going to do. If the ushers would come, we're going to pray for clothing. But before we get clothed, let's get cleansed. I am so happy for this. Because Jesus, through this, reminds us of the need we have to be cleansed. He says it like this in 1 John. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He cleanses us. So if you have stuff, this is great. He said, and do it. Paul says, do this as often. And Jesus said, do this as often as you partake of it, because we need it. We need to constantly be cleansed and reminded that we can bring our lives to God. It doesn't stop us from coming to him. We get cleansed and then we get clothed. We get cleansed and then we get clothed. So the ushers, they're going to hand this out to us. And I want you to hold on to the emblems. And then we're going to sing this song. Thank you. You see, now even right now, I'm watching these servants over here who are going around serving you. I'm thankful for all of them. But guess what? They're doing a part right now. They're doing something. They're fulfilling a role that we can't even operate even here without people saying, God, go ahead, I'll be a finger. I'll be a foot. I'll be whatever today to help you do what needs to get done. I'd be thinking right now, as they're handing out the emblems here, take this time right now for a moment, and you can close your eyes. You and Jesus, he says, doing life with Jesus. Think of that, doing life with him. He's, you're yoked with him. He's right next to you. He's near to you. The Bible says, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. He's right near you right now, and he knows, Jared, he knows. He knows my struggle, your struggle. He knows where I battle things, where I battle the calling. I know what it's like to battle the calling. I know what it's like to get distracted. I know what it's like. I just know. But I know what it's like to get that gnawing feeling to, I'm supposed to be over there. And God's not out to hurt you. God wants to bless you. I'm so glad I say yes to God. I'm so glad I said yes to God. So as your eyes are closed, think about it right now. Ponder it for a moment. And make it right with God. Make it right. Say, God, my calling. I know I've been avoiding this or procrastinating on this. I know I've been not right. I'm bringing that to you. I want to be cleansed. I want to be forgiven for ignoring you or trying to get away from this. I'm struggling with it, but forgive me for it. Forgive me for it, for my character, God. I've got this unforgiveness in my heart towards this person, or this bitterness towards you, or someone else, or resentment, or jealousy, or something else that's going on in my heart that I need to be cleansed of that. Because I want to be clothed, but I know you're not gonna put your clothes on top of this. It's not clean. It needs to be cleansed. It needs to be forgiven. It needs to be forgiven. Just bring me a couple of emblems over here when you get a chance. Your calling, your character, it's your call, your clothing. Said, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's all take the body of Christ together. The same way he took the cup also after the supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. It takes our eyes off of ourselves and puts our eyes on Jesus in remembrance of me, the new covenant that I'm going to change you. I'm going to do new things in your life. Let's take the cup together. What's our part? We're going to sing this song in a minute. What's our part? We just got clothed. We just got cleansed. How many feel clean? Feel clean right now. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. God, thank you. Come on, thank God right now. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Now he says God wants to clothe us. He wants to work in you and me, both to will and to do. What's your name, my brother? Bernard. So Brother Bernard, if God wants to work in you, both to will and to do, he's going to do the thing. I'm going to put desires in you, Bernard. I'm going to put my will in you. I'm going to put desires in you, and I'm also going to give you the power to do it. So what's your place? Your place is to say, yes, yes, I surrender. Have your way in me. So we're going to sing that together. Let's all stand together. And whether it's the area of your calling, your character, we're going to sing this song, we're saying yes to God right now. And we're going to see, you're going to see things. And I want you to let me know. You can email me, frank@shelterrockchurch.com. I'll pray with you over the fulfillment, the continuing process of that, to pray for you that God, you will see God changing you and showing you what to do and doing in you what to become. Right now, we want you to just say yes to him and say, I surrender to him. Pastor Ben and the team, they're going to lead us in the song, and then we'll close in prayer in a moment. But let's just do that right now. I feel like that's what we should do. Pastor Ben.